Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. Join their team today. We are joined right now in studio by Demora Smith, former executive director of the NFLPA. His new book is out, Turf Wars, The Fight for the Soul of America's Game.
If you're a football fan,
go get it.
If you're an NFL guy and you want the inside skinny,
you're going to dig it.
You're going to like it.
Are you okay if I get this book sandy? Because I will take this to the beach with me tomorrow.
100%.
So this is good beach reading right here.
For another $15, it comes with a waterproof cover.
Excellent. I might need that.
All right, so let's go to the, because D has so many like fascinating details. See, D's job, listen, when you're the NFLPA president or whatever, big time job, high profile, you got to serve a lot of people. You got to make sure your superstars are happy, but you got your rank and file that really are the bulk of your guys. You got to make sure they're happy. That's like impossible. Keep your Aaron Rodgers and your Tom Brady's happy, but also keep the other 85% who are making close to league minimum happy.
Like
third-string defensive lineman.
Yeah. And then do that when you're going against 32 billionaires who kind of hold all the cards, because if they don't feel like they're just going to sit out and not pay you guys for it, like, what are you going to do?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because they don't need the money as much as the players.
They have the financial wherewithal to do it.
As we would say, true dat.
Right. So job, it's a thankless job. I mean, he got well compensated, although he did tell me he would have made more in a law firm over the
100%.
Time.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
He's a man of the people.
Yeah, but you still made FU money.
He's got FU money.
You're taking care of for the rest of your life. Your kids are taken care of.
We do not have FU money, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah. But we have like...
We can all go to Rips.
We can get crab cakes. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, when we were growing up, we all have more money than we thought we would have growing up.
Well, that's for sure.
Right.
So go back to that lockout of, what was it, 2011?
Yep.
And the owners are like, set the scene for what the owners want more games. They want to cut your pay by 20%.
Take your pensions. Yeah.
They're like, Gene Upshaw, the longtime guy that everybody loved, that everybody was buddy-buddy with. We were buddy-buddy. I love the guy.
Great dude.
Great guy. But they're like, Gene's gone. They got a newbie in here.
Let's roll the newbie.
Yep. We're going to take 20% of the players' money. We're going to stop this pension crap. We're not going to do this forever. This is crazy. Mm. And we're going to add 18 games, and we're not going to pay them any extra.
No extra for the 17th and 18th.
And then what do you have?
Sounds good.
What do you have?
I've got charming good looks. The only thing we had was literally two things. One, a great group of player leaders. And I look back on that group, you know, Brian Dawkins, Drew Brees, Kevin Mawai, Jeff Saturday, Foxworth. Those guys woke up one morning and Gene was dead.
Yeah.
And I think that they already knew that the league was going to lock him out in 2 years. I think those guys got onto war footing almost immediately and decided that they were going to be the guys that were at the helm if they lost the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they decided that there was only one play, and that play was, we're going to fight.
Fight, yeah.
And I think the owners, knowing them the way that I do now, I think they looked and saw that Gene was gone, and they thought that this was an opportunity to
take advantage of him.
100%. Right. Just run the train, right?
So
they didn't expect you guys to fight like you did.
No.
And
so how did you,
especially with the new guy representing?
So did you have 2 years leading up to it? So that's when you build a war chest. You did that, right?
Yeah. I mean, we had $250 million in the bank, and they had $4 billion to lock us out.
Yeah.
And so the first thing is we sued them for the $4 billion because we found out that they literally rigged the TV contracts so that the networks were going to pay them $1 million each. I'm sorry, $1 billion each to lock the players out. So they literally structured the television deals in a way that allowed them to get money if we went for if we missed an entire season, which was absolutely
when you say pay them $1 billion each, what do you mean?
So they had structured the TV contracts in such a way that if we went through a lockout and there were no games, that each network who had a TV deal was on the hook to pay them $1 billion each.
Okay, so the three or four networks.
So CBS, ESPN, Fox, they all had to pay the owners a bill.
Right.
Okay.
So we sued them because under the collective bargaining agreement, the way it works is they negotiate the revenue contracts and we share the money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A judge found that the league violated their duty to us to try to maximize contracts.
Uh-huh.
Because if you're going to get that deal for an extra $1 billion, the argument was they paid a little bit less.
All right, mm-hmm. so you stripped them essentially by winning that of that leverage they had.
And then the flip side is we bought a secret insurance policy that was to this day the most complicated thing I've ever done in my life. And the secret insurance policy would have paid the players around $850 million if we would have gone
missed
through the
whole season.
And missed the, wow.
So their game strategy was really simple. It was like, okay, these players are only going to last for like 4 weeks, 5 weeks without a, you know, out of a check.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to say we're in.
And then we're say we're in. Yeah. And then we've got $4 billion if they don't. And
so you had to convince the players, guys, we have a plan here.
Yep.
We have a policy.
Yep.
We can actually sit this out and we're going to be okay. You guys will all be able to feed your families.
Yeah, that was in the
then
executive
you had to
committee.
Convince them.
And the convinced, and look, that group of the executive committee were the guys who decided to stroke that check. And you think about it. I mean, it's in the book. You know, the insurance policy was complicated. It was hard.
Expensive.
But expensive. Oh, but you got to plop down whatever it was, 40-something million, to buy $850 million of insurance. But what they understood was that if everything goes well, we'll never have to use the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So we kept it secret until literally the last minute. And then we threw it down on the table to the owners.
Were they flabbergasted that you actually...
I have never seen them more pissed.
Really?
Than, yeah, I talk about it in the book. It was literally like a career moment.
Where was this when you found when they found out you had the policy?
So when you say last minute, is this like as the lockdown occurred or like
this
into the negotiations?
This is like late July.
So when did they lock you out? When did they lock you
out?
In March. So then like 2 months into it, you go, just by the way, you guys know, we're good. We have an insurance policy to pay us basically $1 billion.
Yeah, I mean, we had negotiated. The only strategy that I knew was to negotiate the deal as hard as we could, you know, to get to that point. And I think even at that time, they were still holding on to 18 games and they were still holding on to the 20%, you know, give back.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was negotiate the deal as hard as we can to the end. And then if there's still stuff that we need.
Hit him with that. Bring
the hammer.
And so when you did that, who was on the committee then? Who were the owners there? Was that Kraft?
This is one of the best stories of all time.
Yeah.
So Kraft is on the committee. Jones is on the committee. Jerry Richardson, who's no longer with us, was on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Former Panthers owner.
Yeah, probably not going to say anything bad about the dead, but I could.
Mm-hmm. He was a bad guy.
He was not a great dude.
Yeah, yeah.
To say the least.
So out of those three, Jones, Kraft, Richardson, he was the worst guy.
Man, it was I'd go for a tie for three.
Oh, okay. All right.
Photo finish.
They're all bad dudes. Okay.
But you had Kraft was good. You had a good relationship with Kraft, right?
I did. And one thing I will say about Robert, one of the guys in the room who always looked at the big picture. And so we walk into the room, and let's just say, I don't want to spoil it because buy the book. But Kraft was the person that I told the day before about the secret insurance policy.
Okay.
And he said, well, Lynn, let's get together in New York for one last push at this thing. So we fly to New York. We get there. Coolest story. So we're in the room. You know, I finally tell the guys, we're going to play the card today. And we get a group of guys. We're walking down the hallway to go meet with a small group of the owners. And I've got, I think, Jeff Saturday with me, Kevin Mawai with me, Foxworth with me.
Drew Brees there?
He was there, but he wasn't going to go in the small group.
Okay.
So we're walking out of the door, and there was another offensive lineman, a guy who was playing in Atlanta at the time. I think his name, I'm pretty sure it was a guy named Tyson Clabo, who was, I don't know, 6'9", and like, as far as I could tell, 450 pounds. He was like just a giant, but also not a D fan.
Mm-hmm.
Just not that
he wasn't
much of
your
a
guy.
He was not my guy. But he was a rep, so fine. So we're walking out of the room, and we're walking down the hall, and he goes, hey, where are you guys going? I should be able to go too. And I'm like, you know what? Dude, I'm fine.
Bring us the muscle.
100%. So we're walking down the hallway. I literally put my hand on the door to open up the door to go drop this secret insurance policy. But I remember now the executive committee knows about the secret insurance policy, but not the board.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't know. So I'm putting my hand on the door, and I turn back towards him, and I go, hey, look. Months ago, your executive committee came up with a brilliant plan to protect the men policy, and the owners are going to hear about it for the first time right now.
Mm-hmm.
So just
be cool.
Just be cool.
Right.
Just chill.
Just don't say anything.
Just say anything.
You big lummox.
So
just turn your mouth shut.
And he's not a D fan. The guy turns to me and he goes, dude, is that true? Yeah. And I said something, you know, probably I can't use the language on morning show, but I was like, look, I know, yes, this is true because not even I have big enough blank to fake this whole thing. And he turns to me and goes, dude, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so we go in and we slap the thing down that, hey, look, I know you guys over and under, you think the players are going to crumble by week four, week five. We've frozen your $4 billion. If you guys lock us out, this thing's going to go the whole freaking season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've got this insurance policy. And I will never forget the look on Roger's face. I thought, if that guy could reach across the table and choke me out.
Yeah, he was blown away.
All right,
yeah.
So it's a home run. And then what does ultimately, what did you guys net out of that deal? Because I remember you were criticized at times because maybe you gave a few percentage points back.
Yeah.
Knowing, though, that the pie was going to be so big that the players were going to make so much more money in the future.
Yeah, look, the pundits, you know, you have a job. Everybody gets to second guess you.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that most people didn't focus on was, we gave some percentage points back, but we locked in our share of revenue, which was really important because it was declining over time.
Mm-hmm.
And then back then, remember, we didn't have a mandatory spend.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I remember sitting down with a group of reporters, and I'm not going to name their names because some of them were chuckleheads at the time, but I said, hey, look, what do you think the teams are spending? Well, everybody said, everybody's spending the entire salary cap. No, they're not.
The Bengals definitely weren't.
No. They weren't.
Impossible.
So our guys are working as hard as they can, and they're not spending the amount of money that they're supposed to. So locking that in was huge.
So but you made a salary floor.
Salary floor, right. kept our share, but more importantly, the big win, up until that point, the league had the unilateral right to add up to 20 games.
Okay, without paying any extra.
Without paying any extra.
So they could add four games, but not pay for those four 100%. Games. Not pay the players for four games.
A free 100%. Four games that they would make billions and billions and billions.
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and by the way, they'd done before. They'd gone from 12 games to 14 to 16. Right.
And never paid extra for it in terms of getting a share of the pot.
So it never happened.
So when Gene was negotiating those deals, he wasn't paying the players for the extra games.
Look, but here's the thing. He just didn't have the leverage.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I mean, Gene was at the helm through two failed strikes, two failed strikes. And I know Gene gets a lot of criticism, but look, I mean, he's the leader. The players have to toe the line and be strong.
Right.
And if you wake up one morning and you see frickin', you know, Joe Montana cross a picket line, I don't talk to Joe Montana now because he crossed a picket line.
I mean, that's just really?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
No.
Yeah.
Bad blood still exists to this day.
You can't cross a picket line.
Yeah.
And so Gene, I think, ended up negotiating the best deals he could with the leverage that he had.
I got you.
But I'll say one thing for him. He did something that I'm not sure I could do. After the failed strike, when the players crossed the picket line, the strike failed.
The scabs and all that.
Crushed all that. And the players are literally begging to come back to work. You know who has to pick up the phone and call Paul Tagliabue and say, you won? We need to come back to work. Can we have our jobs back?
Mm-hmm.
Gene's got to do that.
Yep.
And I'll tell you right now.
That ain't fun.
I'm not sure I could.
You could do that, right?
No. Mm. But he did the right thing for his guys.
So
we get the right.
So you got the right to what?
Add games.
Do you add games back?
Flipped it around the other way. We had the right to veto any additional games.
Oh, and the only way you would agree to it is if they paid whatever you determined was fair.
Yeah. So you look forward, right? In 2011. They wanted us to play two games for free. We won back the right to say no. In 2020, the league bought the 17th game for approximately $1.6, $1.7 billion over 10 years.
Right.
And it was a game they had for free in 2011.
Right. Right.
Why did they agree to budge on that particular
Because, you know, adding the 17th game also comes with a tremendous increase in revenue.
So much money, yeah.
Yeah, so by getting an extra point and a half for us, that comes out to about $1.7 billion over 10 years.
Right.
So look, it's a win-win for everybody, but you want to be in a room or in a place where they actually pay you for doing
the share in the revenue, and the benefit.
And by the way, if the players don't want to play the 17th game, don't play, right? But at least you're in a position now where you could attach a value to what this thing cost. And going to your point, the 2020 deal raised minimum salaries overnight by $200,000.
Right. Mm.
And over 70% of our guys are on minimums.
But the other thing is that I don't think D gets enough credit for, And I know he's been pushing, or he was, I don't know if he cares anymore, but pushing for everybody should be guaranteed contracts. They got guaranteed contracts in the NBA. They got guaranteed contracts in MLB, whatever.
NHL.
Yep. And, you know, you got guys like Kirk Cousins who did get guaranteed money, like 100% guaranteed. Now, it's very rare, but you guys are getting
Deshaun Watson.
Huge. Deshaun Watson. Terry McLaurin arguing about right now?
Guaranteed
money. 100%. Guaranteed money. Yeah. And all of that started, I have to say, with our friend, D. Smith, got that ball rolling. His guys got that ball rolling, right?
Look, it's important, and it's really important for players to use their leverage. My hopes, wishes go out to the best people at the NFLPA. I'm rooting for the new guy, David White. He's got a labor background. I knew him when he was at SAG-AFTRA. But, you know, look, the people at the NFLPA for years have just wanted the best for the players. And the players should demand what they think is in their best interest. And that's what Turf Wars is about.
Turf Wars is the book.
I'm sorry, real quick. The 18th game, which is obviously a rumor that they want to they want to add the 18th game. The current deal is up in 2030.
Right.
Now, the 18th game could be added if they just do the deal earlier than 2030.
Deal, I guess.
But that's definitely going to be one of the main issues for the next deal, right?
I think it's going to be one of the main issues. I also think that issues like pensions, you know, companies don't want to do pensions anymore.
Right.
And so I think the league is going to come back, and
they're going after them.
I think the league now thinks that the deal, at least Roger said it a few weeks ago. He thought that the deal in 2020 was too rich for the players.
Mm.
So I think that 18th game is going to be big on their schedule. I also think that rolling back the economic wins for the players are going to be big. So these guys need to understand that a fight's coming. And I wish them the best.
They better get another insurance policy.
It's a big premium, I'm guessing, when that check got struck.
All right, did you do one more segment?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Right. You know, maybe we'll get into the Terry McLaurin contract impasse.
Oh, we'd love to.
Come up with a good Dan Snyder story or two.
Oh, I've got a great Dan Snyder story.
We'll definitely do all that when we get back with D. Smith in studio with the Junks.